first for the Bucks.
Zeke Elliott bumped the ball.
Jalen Smith.
That is a play to remember.
Oh, what a tackle by Jalen Smith.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the next episode of the Frisco Report. What's up, Mike? Ready to talk, about these Cowboys, baby, or what?
I'm ready to talk about these Cowboys. That's for sure.
Yeah, let's talk about this, man. We're still getting this loss out of the way. A lot of people are just focusing on Dak Prescott's pregame warm-ups. I'm like, all right, man. You people are focusing on the wrong crap, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought it was pretty cool, but this team has issues, bro. Like, what is going on with the Cowboys? What happened in this game, man?
Well, first of all, I want to say this. This game was probably one of the best games this year in the NFL. It was a dogfight. And I give the Minnesota Vikings props, bro. I mean, they had injuries. They stuck to their game plan. They stuck to it well. And they beat us at home in Arlington.
Yeah.
It was a dogfight. And Cowboys could have came up on top. But the coaching staff, again, Jason Garrett, again, failed this win. Dak Prescott was having the best game I've ever seen Dak have.
Beautiful game. Yes, I agree.
And it comes to the running plays. It comes to the Tavon Austin fair catch. I mean, Dak Prescott, he earned my respect with this game right here, dude. I mean, he was just going at it like, oh, who do we play? The Jets. You know, when he was getting hit after hit after hit. I mean, Dak's in it to win it, man. And this coaching staff, time after time after time, has stopped this team from doing – they waste talent. Jason Garrett, if there's one thing I can pin to him, is he's a talent waster.
Yes.
This team is loaded with Pro Bowlers. This team is loaded with natural-born talent that I wish I had. And Jason Garrett, one thing he knows how to do is be the head coach to waste talent.
Amen to that, man. I mean, that's reality 101. Since Garrett has been here, all the talent has been wasted. I mean, it's countless players, bro. Like Romo, Tyron Smith's on the back end of his career already. I mean, Witten, DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, all these guys, man. The window is small, and like for me. And to the people out there, you know, you get the one-offs like, oh, you know, this is a negative Nancy says. Shut up, all right? Just shut
it's
up.
Reality.
This is reality, guys. I mean, we're not going to blow freaking tulips up your butt, all right?
I'm not going to sugarcoat nothing.
Right, exactly. And you and as a fan as yourself, you should expect the best. And this coaching staff, led by Garrett, just isn't getting it done, man. And like you said, Mike, Dak Prescott had an amazing game. Amari Cooper had an amazing game. Cobb had a game of games. I mean, it was just like everything was set in place. But, you know, the coaching, that comes into play, and they bumbled it up, man.
And, you know, one thing, and DeMarcus Lawrence tweeted some hot boy beanies.
Yeah.
And I tweeted him. I said, you know, when you're focused on winning, I'm going to buy your hot boys gear. I'm going to buy Cowboys gear. I'm not buying none of that until this organization tells me and shows me that they're in it to win it year after year. Jerry Jones is counting $100 bills for selling out AT&T Stadium. There's 100,000 people capacity in that stadium. That is massive amounts of money that Jerry Jones is getting. And for what, Joe?
It's just
25 years of losing. Mm-hmm. And you fired Jimmy Johnson. You fired Tom Landry. And you keep a head coach like Jason Garrett.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it. And then in the post-conference, or in a recent interview, they asked him about the play calling at the end, the two run plays, and he was like, I mean, he should come out and say that was stupid. Like, what is it? Stop defending this guy.
He will never own up. Bill Belichick will flat out tell you, I need to be a better coach.
Yes.
After six Super Bowl rings, Bill Belichick will tell you, I need to be a better coach. Jason Garrett will never admit that he needs to do better.
I mean, he's been a head coach in training, right? I mean, it was all a projection. Jerry Jones, like, he's an offensive minded guy. They hired him before they even hired Wade Phillips to be the head coach. Then he gets, you know, the interim thing, and then it's just the same stuff, man. It's just like, oh, how do you bumble this up?
And you know what I was thinking, Joe? I was listening to one of Fifth Quarter Cowboys videos today, mm-hmm. and he said something that made me trigger something in my brain. So Jason Garrett, look at his coaching record. It's a losing season, a winning season. A losing season, a winning season. You know why that is, Joe? Because the NFL sets up schedules. However you place in your own division, that's the team you're playing next year in the NFC conference, right?
Yeah.
So if you think about it, if we have a losing schedule 1 year, the next year we're going to play those losing teams that was right there with us. So whenever we have a winning schedule, guess who we play, Joe? The winning conference of those teams.
Yeah.
That's why he looks good 1 year and looks bad 1 year, because he knows how to fluctuate that schedule. He's a horrible coach.
Just not consistent. And 9 years, I do not. And I have friends, you know, that continue to put it on the players. They don't want to put it on Garrett. I'm like, dude, come on, man. 9 years? Look at Shanahan, dude. Look, Kyle Shanahan has turned the 49ers around. Yeah, they lost to the Seattle, but that was a competitive game. They turned it around in 3 years.
They don't shoot themselves in the foot.
Right.
You look, and this is another thing, Joe, right? We're 5-4, okay? We're 4-0 in the division, which means four of our five wins came from inside our division. Mm-hmm. We can't even win outside our own NFC East, bro.
Yeah, it's terrible, man. And you don't know. You cannot go into a game saying, you know, with all honesty, you know, we're going to win this game. You don't know which team's going to show up anymore. Is it going to be the team that looks like Zeke is back? Or is it going to look like the team that, you know, the defense is back? Or is it going to be the team that gets run over? Is it going to be Ezekiel Elliott having 2.7 yards per carry? I mean, who?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not hard on Zeke as other Cowboy fans are, because Zeke would take literally three steps and there would be a defender right there. The offensive line got their butts whooped Sunday night. They did. They got their butts manhandled. Now, pass protection, oh, they know how to pass protect. But when they knew that it was time to run, they got their butts whooped. Mm-hmm. And Zeke, you know, I really don't pinpoint it on Zeke, because we know what kind of runner Zeke is. And he's had three games back-to-back at 100 yards. So I really don't think Zeke's lost a step. Yeah, we want to see that big burner 2016 Zeke. Even my wife said it. She's like, what happened to that 2016-2017 Zeke? I said, well, he missed all of offseason with this team. He was in Cabo, you know. He was supposed to be in shape and all this. I think he's still learning a new zone running scheme, to be honest with you, because there's sometimes I don't even think he knows the plays because he missed the whole offseason. Not an excuse, but I don't think Zeke is the issue here. There's bigger issues on this team than 21.
No doubt. No doubt about it. And the head coach has to take accountability. You know, it's just I'm not even putting it on Kellen Moore, because this is just like the same crap. You know, is it Linehan? Is it Bill Callahan? Is it Scott Linehan? Is it Kellen Moore? Like, enough is enough. Like, dude, I'm so tired of this. Garrett
Crow. The scapegoat is over.
Yeah, the scapegoat. He's the final scapegoat. There's no way they can. There's no way they can come to the end of the season and be like, all right, you know, we're getting rid of Ron Marinelli and Jason Garrett is here another 5 years. Can you imagine that, bro?
Dude, I don't want to imagine that because I'll give it. Garrett's good about one thing, and that's it. He inherited from his dad how to scout talent. He can find talent, right? Mm. And he and I think Scott Linehan was the only one that said Dak Prescott. They literally had to sell Dak Prescott to Jerry Jones. There's film out there where Jason Garrett is talking about Dak and his intangibles and what he can do, right? So Garrett is a great talent evaluator with Will McClay. Those two make a great pair. But when it comes to showcasing the talent, Jason Garrett crumbles.
Yeah, that is the issue. They're not clicking on all cylinders, man. Whether it's Chris Richard, Marinelli, or Kellen Moore, or whoever, it just seems like in some game, there's somebody's going to screw up. And with the Cowboys, if they don't play a perfect game in all three phases of the game, they lose.
Dude, I can name you probably three times that I know where Jason Garrett screwed his own team from winning. Dan Bailey, Christmas Eve against the Cardinals. What year was that? 2011? 2010? He iced his own kicker.
No, I remember that. I remember that was icing his own kicker. I remember that.
This game right here. And Tavon flat out said, I was being told what to do. Jason Garrett said on the radio, Tavon made his own decision. Then he came out in the press conference and said, we miscommunicated something there. So what was it, Jason Garrett? Own up to your mistakes, dude. There's 31 other coaches that say, you know what? I was wrong here. And Jason Garrett thinks he's the smartest man in the room because he went to freaking Princeton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a shame, dude.
I mean, it's a shame. You would expect a coach that has 9 years in the NFL to not be making these stupid little mistakes that will kill you. It only takes a stupid little mistake, you know, between a win and a loss, and he keeps doing it.
The only thing I can really blame on Kellen Moore, if Kellen Moore is really calling the plays, Brian Broaddus came out and said Kellen Moore is calling the plays. Jason Garrett just threw Kellen Moore under the bus yesterday and said Kellen Moore is calling the plays. The only thing that I can blame on Kellen Moore is the slow starts on offense.
Yeah, I don't get the slow starts. I don't understand what's going on with that. It has already become what the Cowboys are. It's not even about are they going to fix it. They're not. That's what they are. So being that that's what the Cowboys are this year, every year it's something, right? This year it's that. And that's just the way it's going to be. And you can't play like that and go down 14-0 and then you got to crawl your way out of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been like that before. What was it? 20? Was it 31-3 against the Packers at one point?
Yeah.
14-0?
Just total.
I think the Jets went up on us first, too. You know, and it's just one of those things. And I get it. We have a rookie offensive coordinator. Okay, he's not going to be perfect every time. But when's your head coach going to step in? Like, how many – Joe, let me ask you. I don't know if you watch other games or not of football, but in collegiate, in high school, in NFL, how many times have you seen the head coach go up to his player and make adjustments instead of, hey, hell of a play, Joe. Nice job. Way to do it. And then he walks back to the front of the field and watches the game like he's getting a free ticket. Like, yeah. I've never seen Jason Garrett hold up one of those tablets and say, look, guys, this is what we're doing. This is what we need to be doing. I've never seen Jason Garrett do that in 9 years.
Yeah.
Even in, even in being in games, personally, spending hard money on this team to go to games. I glanced down to the sideline, and Jason Garrett sitting there with his arm crossed, wanting to clap. Chewing bubble gum.
They just don't have what it's going to take, man. Like, of course we want to be positive, right? I mean, we do. We want the Cowboys to win, but when they play like this, it's just it takes you one step forward, three steps back. So it's like, all right, here we go. Are we going to go on another three-game losing streak? Or what are these guys going to do? You don't know what they're going to do.
Right. Right. Seriously. Okay. So let me paint this picture for you real quick, Joe. All right. So we beat Washington once. We beat the Giants twice. We beat the Eagles. Who else have we beaten? I'm missing one.
We beat Miami.
Miami. Okay. You ready? Check this out.
Yeah.
Let me paint this picture for you and the viewers here. Is Washington a good team?
No.
Is the Giants a good team?
No. We already swept them.
Okay. Are the Eagles a good team? Yeah. We're to be determined, right?
Yeah.
And then is Miami a good team?
No.
Okay. So you're telling me that we play the Giants twice, the Washington, Miami's, Eagles still up in the air, right? Mm-hmm. Who have we beat that's good?
Nobody.
That's when we got to take that pill that says right on the prescription bottle, they ain't as talented as we thought they were.
But the ultimate homer will tell you this. It's the NFL. Every team has professionals and this and that. Like, just shut up. Shut up with that already. All right? Like, dude, let's be real about this team.
Okay, so let me play devil's advocate with people that think that way, right, Joe?
Yeah.
Can you tell a team of what a team's going to be at the halfway mark of the season?
I would say you can, because you got, you know, your bottom feeders already at that halfway point. You got teams that are starting to pull away, you know, like the Packers, even the 49ers still look pretty good, even though they barely lost, you know, there to Seattle. But mm-hmm. I mean, you got your upper echelon teams that look like they're going to be ready, you know?
Exactly. So at the halfway point, we're 5-4. We haven't beat anybody good. You give me the win that say we beat New Orleans. You give me the win that says the Packers game wasn't 31-3 at one point in the game. Maybe I'll say, you know what? Oh, and on top of that, we lost to the New York Jets. You know what? Maybe, just maybe, I might say, you know what? This team has potential to be really, really good this year. Joe, we're sitting at 5-4. Halfway through the season, I don't see this team being as talented as we thought they were.
And that's the thing as fans, that we have to really, we really need to reevaluate ourselves as fans as far as expectations, because I'm totally guilty of this, you know. Free agency comes, okay, we're going to fill holes here and that, and I buy into the philosophy of clearance, you know, bargain bin defensive tackles, like, oh, okay, you know, that's cool. We're getting these guys, and then we're extending our stars. So, yeah, I'm fine with that. But then when it comes, and then you get the draft, you get excited, and then when the season comes, you get backhanded, all right? Those bargain bin defensive tackles, they ain't getting it done. And your high-priced guys that you just signed big contracts, they're doing okay. They're doing decent at times, but they're not. I don't know. It's just
You said a word that stuck out to me. Expectations. And I think as Cowboy fans, and I'm guilty of this too, Joe, we are so accustomed to this Jason Garrett era of 9 years that we think we can come back every second half. We don't think slow starts is a problem. We think that it's okay to go 9-7 and 12-4 the next year, or go 8-8 and then go 13-3 the next year. Under Jason Garrett, a lot of these fans grew up watching this, and the expectation is, it's okay, we've been here before, we can get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to stop. You think the Patriot fans go in there and say, you know what, we might lose this year? No, they go in there with high confidence because they're in the playoffs every damn year.
Mm-hmm. They run the table, man. They run the table, and that's how it should be.
Exactly, exactly. And I just, if this team is serious about winning, they will fire Jason Garrett after this year, no matter how far they are in the playoffs.
They have to, bro. They just have to do that. Enough is enough, man. I mean, let's take a peek at the let's just do this, okay? Real quick. The Cowboys, they beat sucky teams, right? That's what we know about this season so far, except for the Jets. And they can't beat good teams. So if we're looking at the remaining schedule, the Lions, they have a bad record. You know, they have a sub-500 record. Cowboys, in theory, should win that game, right?
Right, in theory.
Yeah, in theory. And then after that, the Patriots. That's probably a loss if we're being real about how they've been playing. And that's at Gillette Stadium, baby. Forget about it. That's a big L. The Bills? What are they right now? 6-4, something like that?
They got a winning record. And yeah. Cowboys really don't play real well. They're pretty inconsistent on Thanksgiving. I remember I didn't want to eat because the L's we took. Sanchez beat us on Thanksgiving.
That could be an L right there. Then in the Bears, we never play good at Chicago in December. Even though the Bears are having their issues. I mean, that easily could be a three loss stretch right there, right off the bat.
Dude, with Cheeto playing the way he's playing, Mitchell Trubisky could look like Tom Brady that day.
Let's talk about Cheeto, man. And I think we already have, but dude.
And then we got Eagles and Washington after that.
Guy has fallen off bad, dude. Yeah, Rams. It's a
And the Rams.
It's a brutal schedule. I mean, it really is. Like, And the Eagles are almost a mirror image of us, so it's going to come down to who bumbles this up, right? Who's going to bumble this?
Who gets momentum?
Who gets momentum and who just keeps doing what they're doing?
Yeah, exactly.
That Lions game that in theory we should win, that's a Jets game. That's another Jets game. They better show up and they better put it to the Lions or they're going to lose that game.
Right.
Yeah, is Stafford playing in that game? And that's the other thing about the Cowboys. The opposing team will be missing a star player, and they still can't take advantage of that. Adam Thielen didn't even play in the game.
Some of their best defensive tackles didn't even play in the game for Minnesota.
Right? Yeah, they can't. And it's coaching. That is coaching. Your coaches are supposed to attack the weak points of the armor. The chinks in the armor, and the Cowboys cannot do it. They do not know how to do it.
They had a week to figure it out. Dalvin Cook the leading rusher in the National Football League going in that game?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's like 100.
So you're going to tell me that screens, toss plays, and HB draws got him almost 200 scrimmage yards?
And no adjustments, man. No adjustments. That's on Christian Shard too, because they couldn't adjust to the full okay. The telecast did a great point of covering this. They changed how they were running. You know, they brought in a fullback to knock out, you know,
tight end.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they were in business. And then once the Cowboys they couldn't adjust to it. They couldn't adjust to the Vikings running game.
But hey, Let's wear jumpsuits on Tuesday's practice and not even wear a helmet or pads. And let's just lay around the field stretching all game. That's what they did on Tuesday, Joe. That's how they practiced. In jumpsuits, no helmets, no pads.
Yes, I saw that. And I know a part of that is the whole you can only have a certain amount of padded practices during the season.
You can have 14 full padded practices, but there's nothing in the rule book that says you can't even, that you're not supposed to wear a helmet.
Yeah, and that's what makes the Cowboys soft at times, man. It's just,
did you play football in high school?
Yeah.
How many practices did you have with no helmet on?
Dude, it was, no, we didn't have any without a helmet on.
Exactly. The only time that we didn't have a helmet or pads on and we were in our jerseys and our bottoms was during Purdy Day during our walkthroughs. That's the only time. Other than that, we at least had a shorts and a helmet on.
And it does. It does come back to coaching, because knowing that that's how the current NFL is, it takes the best coaches to harness, you know, the inner want to from these players, from these young men, these millennials or whatever you want to call them. I feel like Garrett is out of touch, you know, and maybe Ron Marinelli's out of touch. This guy is really old. He was an awesome guy back when football was a different game. It's different now. You know, these young guys are focused on different things. The attention span is very short.
That's a good point. I'm a manager,
yeah,
right? And every year we have to do a manager recourse class, and it's about the new generation coming in and millennials. I'm a millennial, and I'm just a different breed of that base, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
And the millennials, they want to be talked to in a certain way. They like to have fun. They love the sour candies and stuff. So whenever we have, like, you know, the group huddles and stuff, I got to adjust the way how I do things. I got to, you know, have, you know, Skittles, or, you know, you have to adjust to the millennials. Like, they like to have fun, but they like to be talked to in a certain way. And Garrett and Rod Marinelli don't have what it takes to talk to a certain millennial, because they're just out of touch with reality.
Yeah. No, it is. It's that's what it is, man. And if you can get a coach in here that can make your team physical and just the Cowboys are not physical enough, right? They're just not. And I feel like the offense is more physical than our defense, to be quite honest. And
I would say more aggressive by all means, yeah.
Right? And that's definitely not what you want. I mean,
you're trying to arm tackle the number one running back in the National Football League, Joe.
Yeah, what happened with the tackle? And it's that's become an issue. Like, why is that happening all of a sudden? See, it's just like Leighton Vander Esch has not had a good season. He's had an okay season.
That's fair. I would say that's fair.
Yeah, the linebacker. But they're taking a beating, man. Those defensive tackles are letting these big old athletic, even some of these bigger offensive guards and centers, maul our linebackers. They're getting beat up. They are getting an ass whooped, man. And it shouldn't be that way, you know?
No, it shouldn't. And that goes back to the expectations. What are we accustomed to? What are we used to? And fans think that this is okay.
Yeah, the Cowboys, they need to reevaluate, you know, a lot of things. But definitely how they attack, you know, the draft, free agency. A lot of this stuff has to be reevaluated, because it isn't working. It isn't working.
No, and it hasn't worked for 25 years.
Yeah, it hasn't worked for 25 years for sure. So we'll see what these guys do, man. Let's hope for the best, but let's take a quick look at the Detroit game. All right, so we're facing Detroit next, the Lions, and these guys, they have some talent, but they are also beat up. But they do play defense very well. This is away for us, so we will be playing at Detroit. And that's
it's my birthday, too.
It's your birthday, man. So hopefully they can get you a little treat there with a win, man. Because they got to go. If we can go 6-4, That sounds better than 5-5 going into that three game stretch we're talking about: Patriots, Bills, and Bears. You know,
it's gonna be tough, man. It's gonna be real tough. We're gonna see what this team is really made of in these last stretches of these games, because it's playoff mentality. Even Jerry Jones said this could be what word did he use? He said this could be terminal.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the word he used? Like this game was that important, and the Cowboys they messed it up. But it looks like the Lions ain't really good on third down. I mean, they're like maybe 39%, 40% on third down. They give up 3 point yards a carry, 3.7 yards a carry on rushing. You know, so they got a good offensive line. Dak's going to have his hands full. These guys got 19 sacks on defense, almost like us there. I don't know. It's going to be one of those games with or without Matt Ryan.
Yeah, so the Lions are 3-5-1. So they're in last place in that tough NFC North. But being as tough as that division is, that 3-5 record to me is still dangerous, you know. Like I said, the defense, they've got some good young talent there on offense. Galladay, up and coming receiver, he's good. Are they going to put him on Cheeto? If that's the case, we're in trouble right there. I really don't like their secondary. I think Amari can have another breakout game here. So it's just about the same old thing, man. Like, don't shoot yourself in the foot, and you should be able to come away with the win on this bad team.
Yep. Just got to keep an eye on Trey Flowers. He has 5 sacks on the year.
So here's the other thing. Connor Williams is out. And then we got the slow-footed Xavier Suafilo. All right. What's your gut feeling on how he's going to perform here over the next couple of weeks? Because it looks like Connor's going to be gone for some time here.
I'm going to be honest with you. Connor Williams got hurt last year. And Suafilo came in. And I thought the offensive line looked different. Was in a good way with Suafilo in there. And Connor Williams, there was that run play where Zeke got stopped. Travis Frederick looked at the bench, and he lost his cool a little bit. Because Connor Williams didn't hold his block. That's why that 94 was able to go get Zeke as fast as he gets. It was Connor Williams supposed to block the guy, give Travis enough time to pull to take care of that same guy, and then Connor Williams is supposed to get the most dangerous linebacker. Connor Williams completely missed that block, and Travis Frederick lost his cool. So I really think that Xavier Suafilo coming in here is going to help this offensive line on run plays and pass protection. Seriously, that's my honest assessment.
And if that's the case, Connor Williams is a bust, because now you're talking about what? This is a second knee scoping, or isn't it? I mean, he's already had like some issue.
Well, I thought it was ankle. Is it his ankle? I think it was his foot.
He had some kind of procedure, but it's getting kind of close to being injury prone. All right, is this guy heading towards the injury prone tag, or do we still give him some leeway? Like, oh well, maybe he'll get back in the lineup, or is this going to be something where you feel like next year it's going to be Suafilo versus McGovern?
I don't even think Suafilo will be on this team next year. I think he's a free agent.
That's right. He's on a 2-year deal. That's right. That could be the matchup next year.
If Jason Garrett is the head coach, then yes. Mm-hmm. But if not, I think you could be right. It could be an open competition. May the best player win.
Hopefully that's what it is. Hopefully that's what it is. I mean, he has played better than his rookie season, but the little injuries here and there, the you know, these are
ask Tyron Smith about little injuries. They start building up.
Yeah, they start building up. And but even then, these other guys have played through a lot more issues, you know. So does he have enough toughness to be on this line? I kind of starting to wonder about that now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point.
You got to have a dog there. And that guard, you got to have somebody there. They took a step back when they let Leary go in free agency, and they're still recovering from it. They're still trying to find that role. You know, they haven't replaced Leary.
Yeah, and Ronald Leary was one hell of a player.
Ronald Leary had a mean streak, played well, athletic enough to do, you know, pulls and that kind of thing. And, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, should they have given him a better deal than what they did?
Yeah, yeah. Well, his health history, which I think the Broncos are paying for that now, is, you know, his knee was pretty much bone to bone, all reconstructed. So, you know, if the Cowboys think you're done, then you're done. You know, they did it with Dez Bryant. They did it with, you know, Ronald Leary. I mean, the Cowboys have a history of using players and letting them go.
That's a good point. That's a good point, Mike. But what's your gut feeling on this game, man? I don't need a prediction or anything, but what's your gut feeling on this game for Detroit?
My gut feeling for the game in Detroit is going to be I'm going to be in Kansas watching it eating cake. I can almost guarantee that.
So you're guaranteeing a win, is that right?
I'm guaranteeing I'm going to win on a birthday cake.
Yeah, man. I kind of feel the same. It's like I think they're gonna win.
I'm not gonna say they're gonna lose because that's my team. I represent the star over everything. But
yeah.
I'm not gonna sit here and try to sugarcoat stuff and say, oh yeah, we're definitely gonna win this one, Joe, because the inconsistencies of the year, being 5-4, shooting yourself in the foot. Now if this team was 7-2, oh hell yeah, Joe, we're going there. We're gonna murder these guys. But we're 5-4. Right. We haven't beat anybody.
Exactly. Exactly.
We lost to the New York Jets.
The Jets, man. And what is that the only that's the only win they have, isn't it? Or did they win another one?
They won last week, I think.
Oh,
Miami and the Jets won last week.
Okay. Thank God. I didn't want to be the only win on that that record.
Yeah, the Jets beat the Giants. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So I think that's it for this episode. We covered a lot. I'm Cowboys. No sugarcoating. You guys out there that follow us, you know how it is. You know how we roll. Thanks for rocking with us. You know, and we just have to hope for the best. You know, we want to win. We want to get to the playoffs. We want to have confidence this team will win in the playoffs, right? Right,
and a lot of people, and a lot of people. And I appreciate all you guys for listening, 1,000%. But you got to remember, the Cowboys and I are like in a relationship, and if things are going sour in the relationship, I'm going to talk about it.
Exactly, exactly. Amen to that, Mike. And when they're going good, we'll talk good. You know,
hey, I'll post pictures of you on Facebook when we're doing good.
There we go. There we go, man. There we go. But I appreciate everybody tuning in. Continue to hit us up on all the major podcast, you know, areas, iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google, and pretty much everywhere you can find the podcast. So give us a follow. Give us a 5-star review. Mike, Let our listeners and viewers know where they can find you.
Dallas Cowboy Football News here on the podcast. Dallas Cowboy Football News on YouTube. Dallas Cowboy Football News on Facebook. DCF News 1 on Twitter. And if you don't like reality, do not follow my Twitter because I go ham on some Cowboy players. Dez Bryant actually blocked me one time, and he still blocked me. I can't see none of Dez Bryant's posts. So don't follow me if you're sensitive.
I'm the same way, man. Don't follow me if you're a tenderfoot. All right. But that's it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for checking out the Frisco Report, and we'll catch you for the next podcast, everybody. Peace.